You're listening to the My SBA Loan Pro podcast, hosted by Ryan Smith, principal broker and founder of Think SBA, a one-of-a-kind loan brokerage serving small business owners and entrepreneurs in their quest to purchase real estate, acquire a business or franchise, or obtain working capital. In each episode, Ryan reveals valuable insights and best practices regarding the SBA loan program and application process. Let's get started.
Hey there, everyone. This is Ryan Smith, principal and founder of Think SBA, and welcome to another episode of the My SBA Loan Pro podcast, Face to Face. I have with us here today Bethany McClellan of Rapid Business Plans. Welcome to the podcast, Bethany.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. As you know, what I do with this podcast is connect important information to individuals who are applying for SBA loans, and you being an individual who owns a business that provides business plans to SBA loan applicants, I feel that having you on this podcast and sharing your background, resources, and information will be very helpful to those individuals applying for an SBA loan.
Yeah, great. I appreciate you having me. Thanks.
You got it. So what I'd like to do here to kick things off is ask you to give us your background. How did you get to this point in your career where you had the desire and the ability to start a business?
Sure. I guess if we're getting real, I can tell you exactly why I started my business. I had climbed the corporate ladder in my career in sales and had gotten engaged to, my partner at the time, and he asked me to quit my job and come work for his companies, and really proud of the work that I did with his companies, but we ended up splitting up. And because of that, I ended up starting a consulting company where I help small businesses improve their financial performance. And early on, I had been networking in a B&I group, and our business banker in the group had asked me if I knew how to write a business plan. At the time, I did not, but I figured it out very quickly. And her SBA officer actually loved it, came up, took me out to lunch. She said, you know, there's a gap in the industry. We kind of need you to do this. If you could keep doing it, that would be great. And so that lender, you know, they're both still in my life today. And, you know, kind of like fairy godmothers that have kind of helped me a little bit along the way. But, you know, we've been in business 10 years and we've been producing business plans in that time. And, we grew from just me to, I think I just hired our 41st employee today. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So that, what an amazing story. And what I like about so many people's stories, just like this one, is that when you grew up, you didn't say, I want to write business plans for SBA loan applicants or individuals requiring a business plan, but through necessity and then someone encouraging you saying, Bethany, you're really good at this. Why don't you do this full time? And you took that baton, you started to run with it. And now 10 years later, you have an amazing agency. Talk to us about your business, how many employees you have, and what it looks like on a day-to-day basis.
Sure. So we have 41 staff members now, and everyone's a part-time contractor. So we have our production team, which is composed of our financial people that are producing our financial statements, our financial projections. We have our research team that is writing the sections on demographics and competition in our business plans. And then we have our professional writers who are mostly MBA level people that are writing the narratives on our business plans. And they are given feedback from our quality control staff members who are MBA and CPA level people that are, you know, giving feedback on their sections and telling them where to tweak it. And then they're all those folks are wrangled by our project manager, Christy, who does an amazing job. And then we have an operations manager, Susan, who's really making sure everyone's doing their job. And then Ross and Shannon, who's our marketing director, we all run marketing and sales. So that's how we do it. And we've been doing it for 10 years. And we also, with all those people, we provide business plans in 4 business days for our clients.
Wow. So right now you are managing, obviously, a large staff. You've been in business for 10 years, highly successful, only great reviews for you and your staff. And what's so impressive is that you turn these around in 4 business days. So Bethany, let me tell you a little bit about my process and where you fit. Usually when I start working with an individual who will be applying for an SBA loan to most of the time acquire a business, sometimes business plans are required for real estate loans as well, but they see that as a big albatross hanging on, hanging around their neck. I've never written a business plan. I don't know where to start. And so what that does is it causes them to tense up and they don't do it, right? So when we get anxious or we have anxiety over a project, that just means we procrastinate. And what I love about what you do is that you provide a high quality professional business plan, but you do it in 4 business days. What I'd like you to do now to relieve and release some of that anxiety for individuals applying for a loan is talk to us about what those business plans comprise, and how you aggregate that data, and then how you take that business plan off of that individual's back so they can literally focus on their transaction and stop worrying.
Sure. And, you know, we write our business plans for people that have neither the desire or the ability or the time to do it. But there are some people that do have the time and the desire and the ability. And I would encourage them to use our software that we use every time called liveplan.com. I would definitely encourage our, you know, the people that don't need us to use that. It's a great program, pretty robust. And if you're good with tech, you'll be able to figure it out pretty quickly. But for the people that don't have time to learn a new software, or they don't have like the next, you know, 3 or 4 weekends of their life to figure it out, we make everything easy for, you know, the client. We make it easy for, you know, our referral partners. You know, we hope this is the easiest part of your deal. And so we start with a discovery call, which my husband Ross conducts with our potential clients. And after that 20 to 30 minute discovery call, we ask our clients to send us, you know, if it's an acquisition, we're looking for maybe a SIM if it's available, or previous financials from the seller would be helpful. We also have a questionnaire that we send to our clients. And once we have those things in place, then we get our client on the schedule and we deliver it on that 4th business day. So that's how we do it. We also, you know, I think one of the key things too, to elucidate the process for our clients, is we actually send them an infographic that has all of our steps, like one by one, like here's what to expect when working with us. And I would encourage anyone that, you know, and I learned this from a company that had helped me scale my business 5 years ago. And they said, hey, the infographics are key. Where do you, like you were saying, you know, Ryan, you hit it right on the head. How do we, you know, give clarity and, you know, comfort to our clients? And we say, hey, this is how we do it. This is what to expect. Relax. And then celebrate when you close your deal.
That's right. When you engage with a client, give them information on what they're going to help you with, right? Because this isn't a one-sided deal. Again, you're going to be collecting information from them. Can you walk us through what types of information will you need from them? What type of documentation will you need from them that it will be helpful to allow you to prepare this business plan?
Sure. Well, we need to know, like for, you know, you work with a lot of acquisitions. We need to know, why is this deal happening now? Why is the seller selling and why is the buyer buying? That's kind of crucial to some of the things that we need to know. We also need to know, you know, how the business makes money. I mean, there, you know, there are several industries that we know already how they make money, but just fill in the details, like with hotels, what is your average daily rate? What is your seasonality? Help us with that. We can also look at the previous financials and help discern some of that as well. But the documentation that we're looking for includes, you know, in the case of an acquisition, we're looking for, you know, if there's a business broker and there's a SIM, we would love to see that. The seller has provided financials. Those are things that we want to see. You know, if there's a pitch deck, we would love to see that as well for our startup clients that we work with. You know, we just want to see the same documentation that, you know, short of tax returns that the bank is going to want to see. And from there, we formulate our, you know, financial projections with the written assumptions. But also, if, you know, like I was saying before, if it's a company where we don't know, you know, tell us how you're making money, tell us what you charge, you know, things like that. And that helps us build out the revenue side of the financials. We have a lot of institutional data. We've been doing this for 10 years now. So we have a lot of, you know, knowledge on, you know, what are some of the expenses and costs that are associated with this particular industry. And so, you know, we use a combination of what the client gives us with a little bit of know-how, you know, or the experience of our team. Plus, we also have a wealth of information, you know, from previous business plans that we've done too.
You bring up a good point there, and something that I want to, if we can, just settle on for a few minutes. When you engage with a client, they give you information, you begin the process. As you said, some of the business plan will incorporate information they've given you. But then through your experience and resources, you're going to provide them with information that you've sourced on your own. Can you talk to us about information that you source on your own? And maybe give us a few instances where you've shared information that they didn't know, and how that maybe changed the deal for the good, or maybe for the bad, if you can share that.
Well, sure. This is this was really a feasibility study that we were working on for a company that was putting up a really nice gas station convenience store, and it was going to be directly like in a pretty unpopulated area. We found out through permit records that one was going to be going in directly across the street. And so, we really wanted to bring that to the bank and the client's attention. Like, hey, did you know that this is happening here? Because they weren't aware of it. So there are things that we uncover in our research, like for instance, looking up, permits and things like that, are part of the process for us that, we uncover things that people may not have known about. But also we have helped people too over the years, when we create our assumptions. For a lot of clients, that ends up being almost like their preliminary sales plan. Our ramp up is going to be like 13 months, and, in our first few months, we need to have this many sales. And, they can honestly, just use the assumptions that we write as a basis for, their sales and growth plan for the initial few years.
That's great. And so I'm sure there are individuals that you work with, their skill, unlike you, isn't writing business plans. It might not be writing at all. So many people are afraid to write and speak publicly. But what's great is that you're able to really fill that gap. And what I was getting at there is a lot of people look at the business plan, especially for SBA financing, as just checking a box. And I get it. That's what they're doing. The SBA lender says we need this. The SBA says we need this. But what you just articulated is that there's actually real information there, and that information's very beneficial. In that particular case, I don't know if they went forward or not, but you could have helped them from making a huge mistake. And so thank you very much for sharing with the audience about your role in preparing a business plan, how you take that off of their responsibility so that they can focus on the transaction, and then how you really dredge and dig up valuable information that they can use in reality for that, that acquisition or that real estate purchase. What I'd like to do now is transition to something that I don't see as much, and you mentioned feasibility studies, but I do work with some clients, and yes, they are in the gas station C-store industry, who, before they ever start a new project, will conduct and hire someone to do a feasibility study. Can you do similarly what you did for the business plan? Break down for us the validity of a feasibility study, how you prepare and compile that feasibility study, and the value to the end user.
Sure. Well, our feasibility studies are, intended to be a credentialed assessment that tells, the bank and the borrower, whether the bank, with our credentialed assessment, do we feel that the borrower is going to make the bank whole in this deal? And so, by the time it gets to us, we only are doing feasibility studies for clients that are doing SBA and USDA. Somebody has done the spreads. They've looked at, the DSCR and, for the projections that they have already. And, they may really like the deal, but they are checking a box. But here's the thing. I feel like when I started writing business plans 10 years ago, I feel like nobody read them and they were just like checking a box. I really feel like that happened. And then there was kind of a shift about halfway through my business where people started reading the business plans. And I got to be honest, that's about the time I started hiring people. And, that's about the time that our business plans got a lot better too. So, back when I was, initially writing them, there wasn't as much, scrutiny. And now, because there's this, heightened awareness of, defaults and default rates and things like this, it really, like if a bank is doing, so many millions in business a year, you know, they know their borrowers and they know what's going on. And so, you know, there's been this push to really, you know, let's get all the information we need beforehand. And so with our feasibility studies, it's the same process for us to gather the information from the client about the project. We do a 20 to 30 minute discovery call. We have a questionnaire that's not dissimilar from our business plan questionnaire. And from there, we look for all the things that SBA is requiring to be in a feasibility study, which is, you know, economic feasibility, management feasibility, the production feasibility, and the operational feasibility. And so these are the things that we're looking at and assessing. We're looking through databases. We are making calls, like in the instance of a self-storage, you know, we may be calling around to, you know, all the competitors in the area and finding out, hey, are you on a wait list? Or do you have availability? What units do you have available? Because I need to, you know, we do like secret shops like that just to see how, you know, all the competitors are doing. Sometimes if it's a business to consumer sort of business that we're doing the feasibility study for, we'll be able to, you know, do some surveying and some sampling and find out, you know, the consumer sentiment in that particular area for this particular product. And we have good luck with that. There are just different ways that we validate the information that we're given. Many business to business feasibility studies are affirmed by contracts or, you know, written agreements, you know, written commitments to our clients for their product or service. And so with those, you know, with either contracts or with written commitments, we're able to say, hey, we expect them to get this amount of business and retain it and things like this. And then we also point out the areas where, you know, we think there may be some weaknesses as well in a deal if it applies. You know, we don't, it's interesting. I talked to a person at the USDA and they're like, it's just crazy. Like all the feasibility studies say that the project should go on. And I'm like, well, by the time it gets to your desk, you know, nobody's going to put a feasibility study on your desk that says, don't do this project. So, you know, banks need to know this information and that's how they move it along, in the process. And, we like to, you know, provide that credential assessment. And so the folks that we do have working on that are, MBA and CPA level people that are putting this out for us.
Got it. And, you mentioned that you prepared a feasibility study for a gas station C-store. Can you tell us some other industries that you work with maybe more than others? I'm sure and confident that you're industry agnostic, but just for data points, people listening and watching this, what are some industries that you're working with more than others maybe?
So we are working with definitely a lot of C-stores and gas stations. We're working with a lot of self-storage, probably, you know, a lot of the same deals that you're seeing. We're seeing a lot of funeral homes, you know, we see, we see a lot of, actually, surprisingly, it's people that aren't like, you know, Wells Fargo or PNC and stuff like that, but we see a lot of professional business plans for like physicians, veterinarians, dentists, things like that too.
Got it. Yeah. So it really runs the gamut. And what I'd like you to do now is talk to us about being the boss. I like to transition this because you started this business not setting out to be the boss. And now you're managing, like you said, 40 plus employees. You have a lot of transactions you're working on. So I'd like you to share with us what it's like to be the boss.
Sure. You know, like you said, I never intended for this to be the case. When I met my husband, I guess almost 6 years ago, I had been living alone and working alone for a long time and really didn't know, you know, how I would scale the business. If I wanted to scale the business, did I even want to do that? Did I want to supervise people? And so I did hire this coaching company to help me scale the business and they made it very easy. It's a company called Boldheart out of Connecticut. But a pretty sophisticated program where there were like monthly pod meetings and quarterly 2-day meetings to leverage some aspect of your business to, you know, grow it exponentially. Also weekly, you know, Q&A sessions with the guru and, you know, via being in that program for 4 years, I had been a boss before. I had a job where I was a boss and I was pretty bad at it. And it was about the time that I'm being honest here with you, that The Office was very popular and I would watch The Office on Thursday nights because I didn't have TiVo, and I would be like, oh my God, I like had inevitably done something that Michael Scott had done that, like, you know, ironically you weren't supposed to have done. And I was like, wow, I'm just really not good at this. But, you know, fast forward 15 years and with a little bit of coaching, and then also inserting a little bit of myself into the business, which is really a, you know, a hands-off, like, you know, if you don't want to work on this project, you don't have to work on it. We have everybody's part-time, work whatever hours you want. And, you know, giving people the latitude like that, a lack of supervision has really given us, I think, more production, actually more productivity.
So you're setting people free to do their job. They are, like you said, credentialed to do it. You know what they're doing and they know what's expected of them. And then you remove yourself from the process. And you bring up a good point, just in general, of being a business owner, being the boss, is so much of that is knowing who you are and also being able to take criticism wherever it might come from, even if it comes from one of the most popular and successful sitcoms in the history of television. So what kudos to you to have that self-awareness to say, hey, I'm doing that. I need to change that. As you grow in this business, where do you see this business going?
Well, fortunately, you know, I feel like there's a lot of abundance out there with what I do, and I've only like scratched the surface. You know, I do have a handful of, you know, competitors out there, some, you know, friendly people that are, you know, in opposite parts of the country that are doing things and everything. But I calculated really like the size of this market, and there could be 32 separate companies, I believe, currently with the amount of SBA lending we're doing, there could be 32 separate companies in the same size as mine that are doing this. And, you know, this is a very, you know, comfortable, my small business is, you know, also a comfortable living, like the small business owners that you work with, their, you know, their businesses are a comfortable living. So I feel like there's, you know, room for us to grow, you know, many multiples of the size that we are now while still leaving, you know, much of the market open for, you know, other people to tap into as well. But, I really feel like there's just a lot of opportunity out there, and I've only really amped up our marketing in the last 5 years for business plans. And so there's just so much more to do. I think many more people to meet.
Got it. And how do banks interact with you when you provide them with the business plan? Are they only interacting with their borrower, or are they also interacting with you trying to discuss what's in the business plan?
Well, I do want to say that one of the things that we include in our fee for business plans is coaching on the business plan. So many times, you know, the borrower has had a lot of input in what they've given us, and we're just, you know, taking down what they're saying and, you know, filling in the rest of the things that we need to do. And many times we're actually, you know, authoring a lot of, you know, conceptual things for the client that, you know, that we need to educate them about. And so we want the client to be prepared when they're talking to the bank about their business plan and not just hand it to them and say, you know, good luck. But also we become part of the team with the bank. You know, we have had calls with underwriters and we talk to the banker and, you know, we will, you know, fill in the blanks there. It's, you know, it's important for me that we get the client across the finish line and get their deal done. So we do whatever it takes, you know, that coaching session might be an hour, might be 2 hours, however long it takes to get the client comfortable with our numbers and how we came up with them and, you know, any other aspect of the business plan that they may have questions about. But really, you know, it kind of depends on the bank too, who we interact with. A lot of times the lender is like, you know, the focal point and the funnel for all the information that gets to the bank. Other times, you know, our underwriters want to talk directly to someone on our team. You know, they know what it's going to take to get that deal done. And so they need to, you know, they need to tweak something in like year two of the, you know, the cost of goods sold or something like that. You know, we really just become part of the team because, you know, again, like I said, it's important for us, for our clients to get their deals done.
Got it. And so from the beginning to end, you said that your process typically takes 4 days.
Yeah. 4 business days. Yes.
Four business days. That's right. Not on the weekends.
Yeah.
not on the weekends. For the audience, I want you to tell them, what does a good client of yours look like? How do they participate with you? How do they answer the phone, emails? And then give us the opposite of that. What are characteristics of individuals that just make it difficult to work with you?
Sure. Most of our clients come to us through our referral partners, which would be, you know, our banking professionals that we work with, brokers that we work with, which is business brokers, loan brokers, CPAs, bookkeepers. Our website does bring in some referrals. Those are not always the best referrals, but a lot of times we're able to broker those out, which is great. But for our business plans, our clients generally pay us. And many times the bank can count what's paid to us as a project cost, so it can count towards equity injection. Feasibility studies are kind of mixed. Sometimes it's more important to the bank to understand about this project, and so they will hire us, or the client will hire us, or the client has made a deposit with the bank and the bank is using the client's money to hire us. And that typically is what one of the three things that would happen with a feasibility study for us. And I should also say that we don't do feasibility studies in 4 days. We do those in 3 weeks.
Feasibility studies in 3 weeks, which makes a whole lot of sense because you're digging up a lot of information. And that brings me to my next question. And then we'll wind this down. And I'll let you tell everybody how they can contact you. My next question is going to allow you to broaden who are your clients. You know, we focus primarily on right now people who are applying for a loan, but give me an idea of all the different scenarios someone would hire you for your services, whether it's for a business plan or for a feasibility study.
Well, thank you for asking that. And I don't want to, you know, give a negative response to your question, but we really have found that we occupy the niche where people need our reports for their SBA or USDA deal. And I guess in many ways, like an estate planning attorney, they feel like everybody should have a will and trust, but they're only dealing with the people who, you know, it's very imperative for them at their whatever stage in life that they have this will and trust. And so for us, you know, yes, certainly every, you know, business owner should have a business plan. I try to keep mine updated every year. Sometimes I make it that's first of the year, sometimes I don't, but we do, you know, believe that every business should have a business plan, but we're only selling them to people that need them for their deals. So we occupy that niche. And actually, it's a great selling point for us, too, because, you know, the industry expertise really shines through. When we're writing this strictly for an underwriting audience, you know, we really have that messaging spot on at 10 years in, you know?
Yeah, that's great. And Bethany, tell the audience how they can get in touch with you.
Well, Ryan, thanks again for having me on. This has been a really great opportunity. Appreciate you asking Ross and me to do this. And if anybody would like to reach out and discuss it further, they can email me at bethany@rapidbusinessplans.com. There's also a contact form on our website, rapidbusinessplans.com, which comes right to us as well.
That's great. So just in closing, I'd like to say that I know people who know you, who refer you business. They only say great things about you, Ross, the entire company. And I'm just going to speak directly to my audience right now. If you're applying for an SBA loan and you need a niche business plan or feasibility study provider, you're looking at them. Bethany and Ross do a great job. They're highly ethical and you can trust them to get you across that finish line. Again, Bethany, thank you so much for being here. Ross, thank you for being there as well. We appreciate that, what you guys do, and have a great rest of the day.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you for listening to the My SBA Loan Pro podcast. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, and leave a review. But most importantly, we hope you'll use this information to start your SBA loan journey today by texting or calling us at 858-762-2774 or completing our online application at mysba.pro/app. That's mysba.pro/app. We look forward to working with you.